This is Jaguars Reporters.
Jaguars Reporters. Reporters.
Presented by Burger King. Join Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher and peer of the realm we call Game Day, Cole Pepper, as they break down the last Jaguars game and look ahead to the next time the Jaguars take the field.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Reporters is brought to you by Burger King, American Express, Baptist Health, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars Reporters begins right now.
And we welcome you in, Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King, here on a Tuesday night. Cole Pepper, John Osher, here with you, 2 days removed from the final preseason game. We can all breathe a sigh of relief after that and get on to the business at hand, which is the 2012 season. John, I know you will not be disappointed when the regular season gets here, but this has been an interesting preseason for the Jaguars from a coverage standpoint, from a reporter standpoint. There's been a lot to cover.
Oh, certainly there hadn't been a lack of storylines, and it stands to reason there wouldn't be. Anytime you have a new head coach with the issues that we have on this team, which is obviously the running back's not here, you've got a quarterback who's trying to grow up before our eyes. You have a rookie wide receiver who looks very, very good.
Trip to London coming.
Yeah, even without all those things, it would be a fascinating offseason and preseason because of the presence of a new head coach.
Yeah, which has been one of the big stories, obviously, we've been following here, the impact that he's had on the structure and the culture and everything else. All right, Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King. You can interact with the show via the phone, 355-NFL1. 1-800-355-6351. You can tweet to one of us, at Cole Pepper or at John Osher, or both of us if you can get it all in your 140 characters. Or you can go on the Jaguars website, facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars, and interact that way as well.
Does it make me a bad person that I didn't know the convention was this week?
It makes you overworked, considering all the attention between the Tropical Storm Isaac and the convention. Yeah, you probably...
Tropical Storm what?
Yeah, right.
No, I mean, I knew about the storm, but I'm literally sitting here on the monitor seeing that Mitt Romney's been, nominated. And I'm ashamed to say I hadn't the first clue that was going to happen today.
That's pretty bad.
But that's okay.
And it's especially bad probably to admit on this radio station with as much political coverage as WOKV provides. But, I'll try not to hold that against you.
All right.
I'll try.
Fair enough.
Probably will not be.
Joe Fortunato knew, so we're all right.
Joe definitely knew, and Joe likes to start us off each and every program.
And now, three burning questions.
Each and every week, three burning questions. Joe puts them to John and I, and we do our best to unfurl them. Call the roll, Joe.
All right, boys. How much did Thursday's loss change your expectations for the Jaguars?
Well, it didn't change mine one bit because I expected this team to be a team that was probably up and down at least early. I think that's just realistic with a new coaching staff and a new offense. I'm of the personal belief that legs were as much of an issue for the defense as it was anything else. I think they had a long, long training camp. And they were playing a second road game in 6 days. People want to say that's an excuse. Dead legs are real, and this team refuses to say that, and that's a good thing because you don't use that as an excuse. But, it didn't change my expectations that much. I think this is a team that's going to have to play well, play smart. There's not going to be a huge margin for error. And if they don't play well, they're not going to beat the good teams.
I think you wrote after the second preseason game, okay, now you can get excited. I think it was the headline of one of your stories on Jaguars.com. And one of the things that I thought that the Baltimore game did, it sort of tempered that enthusiasm, tempered that excitement. So I don't know that it changed my expectations, but if the Jaguars had beaten the Ravens, I would have gone, and if the first team had beaten the Ravens' first team, I would have said, ooh, we really have something here. Now, I still think this is a team that, their window of wins is somewhere between – 7-10, I think, it's a big window to look at, but I think 7-10, and had they beaten the Ravens, I might have put that that upper number a little bit higher, made it a little more likely to have something there in double figures, but it didn't change my expectations so much as it did sort of put a cap on them for this for the time being.
But I think they're, I mean, realistically, I don't think they're going to get through the regular season without a few stinkers like that. I mean, they're a new,
especially early in the year, right?
Sure.
I mean, new offensive scheme, quarterback still trying to establish himself,
still
rookie wide
a young
receiver.
Quarterback, and as good as he's looked at times, he's still going to be a young quarterback. Even quarterbacks who look good early in their careers have rough games where things don't go right. So I just, it didn't change my expectations at all.
All right, question two, guys. What can the Jaguars accomplish in the final preseason game?
Well, first and foremost, they can accomplish staying healthy. I think that's, you know, job one, two, and three. I think everybody would agree to that. But I do think there's something to be said for the confidence of this offense in particular, that if they were to go down and get a quick score like they have or first drive score like they have the first two games in the preseason, I think that would do wonders for their confidence. And I do think, as we spoke with Mark Brunell last Wednesday about, confidence for a young quarterback can mean an awful lot. So I think that's the biggest thing from the offensive standpoint. Defensively, this will be the first time the Jaguars have had almost all the defensive starters out on the field at the same time. They should have 10 of 11 defensive starters in terms of the starters we expect to start on opening day. Derek Cox is the one who won't be. So I want to see what that group looks like all out there together on the field at the same time.
Yeah, I still am suspect whether they're going to play fast, as fast as they were during the regular season. They were still physical this week. They're still in camp mode. And the reality is Mike Mularkey has really focused on getting the fundamental work, which he believes needs to be full pad contact. He is not about right now keeping this team fresh as much as he is getting it ready. And he hasn't said this because he wouldn't, but there are 10 days between now, meaning the preseason finale and the regular season. That's plenty of time to get legs back. I think that's when they get legs back. I'd expect the defense to play much better coming out of the gates, because I just don't believe this team has gotten slow and ineffective in a matter of 8 months.
Yeah, and the defense last year, remember, yes, was number six in the NFL. It had injuries at the end of the year that affected a bit. And I will also say they benefited from a running game that really controlled. You know, they did a very good job of controlling time of possession with that running game last year. Going to be interesting to see how that defense comes out this year.
Final question: when's Maurice going to show up?
That's been a question each and every week so far in this. He can't play in the preseason game, no matter when he shows up, because of that the 3 days of ramp up before the.
And you wouldn't want him to anyway at this point. So,
there's been some differing opinions on what that rule means in terms of going into the first regular season game and so forth, but because I guess the rules are different in the regular season than it is in the preseason.
Right. It's an opinion. It doesn't apply during the regular season.
But when does a regular season start? In other words, right? Does that mean for the first
for the week?
So
he could.
So
if he showed
if he shows
up Monday,
up on,
he could play.
If he shows up on a week from Saturday, he could play on Sunday.
In theory.
Right.
If he doesn't. I don't believe he's going to start no matter what. If he doesn't show up, you know, sometime this weekend where he can get in a couple of padded practices Monday, Wednesday, I'd be stunned if he plays. But that's, you know, and I just would.
All right. Realizing that predicting when he's going to show up is sort of like predicting when the rain's going to stop, when's he going to show up?
Well, apparently not before Mitt Romney's nominated.
Right.
You know, again, which I just found out. But I would still be surprised if he doesn't show up this weekend, because to me it's illogical that he wouldn't want to try to play the entire regular season in some capacity. But I'm not sure that, you know, logic is applying here. So at least logic as most of us would understand it. I know Maurice has his reasons. I'm sort of Vito Stellino on this. I don't particularly take a side on whether somebody should show up or not. It's his body. He should play if he wants. Knowing what I do know about Maurice, I know he wants to be as effective as he can whenever he's on the field, and I know he wants to have as good a season as he can. That's why I just don't believe that he lets this go where he can't play in the regular season, but I've been wrong all along on this, so, you know, what do I know?
Let me point out two things, though. Number one, the Jaguars have the option of how much to fine him for missing time in the preseason, up to $30,000 a day.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have you don't have to be $30,000. It could be $18.50 a day.
Right.
It could be $1.72 a day. Whatever they want to do. As soon as the regular season starts, he's not going to get paid. It's not a fine. It's a not getting paid the checks he would get paid
right.
for that.
It feels like a fine.
And it, well, sure. And it's a whole lot bigger than a $30,000 fine.
Right.
So,
then it's just not getting right. It's just you know. Again, I really don't know what he's gaining at this point. I personally don't believe it matters how they start. I don't believe their record is going to – if they happen to go 0-4, I think they will. I don't believe that puts any more pressure on the team to bring him back because right now – and again, I'll preface this by saying this is no knock on Maurice, who I believe is one of the best you know running backs in the league. If you didn't know Maurice Jones-Drew existed, would you even be thinking about the Jaguars running game right now being a problem?
No, there's no concern
right.
whatsoever.
That's not a huge issue. And again, it's not to say that he's not important. He is very important, especially if Rashad Jennings would get hurt. But I just don't think that that element, if the Jaguars running game looks anything like it's looked so far, during the early parts of the regular season, win or lose, I don't think the team's going to be sitting there going, boy, we're this because of Maurice not being here.
All right, 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. We'll play a few what-ifs when we come back here on Jaguars Reporters about what could happen that would change the team's stance on Maurice Jones-Drew, if anything. Plus, we'll take your calls, comments, tweets. You can, again, tweet to John at John Osher or to me at Cole Pepper. And also Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We're back with more Jaguars Reporters here on a Tuesday night on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Jaguars Reporters, here on a Tuesday night. Cole Pepper, John Osher, Jaguars season tickets, group tickets. Five-game packs and single-game seats are on sale right now. To go all in, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Coming up, we'll hear from the general manager, Gene Smith, what you don't know about last Thursday's game against the Baltimore Ravens. Also later on, the general manager will be naming his scout's eye unsung player. We'll also hear from head coach Mike Mularkey here in just a bit, but let's hear from the general manager, Gene Smith. What do we not know coming off of last Thursday's game?
Well, I think the one thing is the offensive line play against a very stout 3-4 defense, the first one that we had an opportunity, at least in a live game, to see last week. I think from a protection standpoint, we gave up a sack and a missed assignment, and then in the run game, the two backs working with the one offensive line averaged 4.4 and 4.6 yards a carry. So there was some productive play in spite of the loss that we had.
All right, so there's the perspective of the general manager, Gene Smith. 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. And you can also join us with interacting on Twitter and on Facebook. Getting a lot of comments here from folks and some questions. I've seen coverage involving a potential trade between the Jaguars and the Lions for Maurice Jones-Drew. And let me back up and kind of say where this started. Adam Schefter of ESPN said on Friday that there's a team and a trade offer that might work. And then he said, I don't see the Lions making this move, but he's talking about a second-round pick and a running back, which I don't think the Jaguars would think about for a second. There's also been some speculation about Cliff Avril, who the Lions just signed, of course, is from the Jacksonville area.
I think if they get Cliff Avril, I think you consider it because he's a defensive end, and at least that position makes sense in terms of how the league values, you know, quality players at the two positions.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't get a sense that.
No, they're not trading Cliff Avril, are they? I mean, they just
right. I mean, it's a franchise level defensive end, and you know, league think, if you will, says you don't trade franchise-level defensive end for our franchise-level running back. I just – any trade rumors involving Maurice, I just think are just that rumors. I just don't see the circumstances where a trade makes sense.
No, I don't think that what the Jaguars would want for him would be available. Nobody's going to give it up. And what somebody else wants to give up wouldn't be enough to sway the Jaguars.
Plus, from the other team's point of view, there still becomes this issue of paying him, which no team wants to pay a running back in their seventh year with 2 years remaining on the deal. I mean, the dynamics that the Jaguars are using not to do this are standard issue stuff around the league. It's not that the Jaguars are being stubborn on Maurice Jones-Drew. It's they're doing what is done.
And I think most people understand that, because the sense that I've gotten is that if you were to take a poll of the city of Jacksonville, it's about 70-30 in favor of leaning toward the team versus leaning toward Maurice.
Yeah, I'd say the readers who write into me are way beyond that.
And I mean, I was going to say the more informed folks are, they're probably more so than that.
And they love Maurice. It's not that they don't like Maurice, but they just – I think they understand that this team in the past has gotten itself into trouble with certain types of contracts, and I think a lot of the fans who really follow this understand that this has the potential to be that sort of situation.
All right, Coley, got something from Facebook. By the way, all of our social media questions, be they Facebook or Twitter, are presented by our friends at CopyFacts. This is from Robert. Guys, are they going to let Blaine start taking more shots down the field?
I don't know that down the field. I mean, more than last year, yes. There was a point where last year where they weren't having Blaine throw the ball more than, you know, 7 or 8 yards downfield at one point, it seemed. I think that you have the ability to get down the field a little bit more because I think they'll be – and the guy who I think is going to benefit the most from this in terms of the wide receivers is Mike Thomas, who running out of the slot I think has a better opportunity to get downfield than running from the outside as a one or a two.
I think you'll see it from Laurent Robinson too. I mean, Robinson's taking some heat this week. He has the one catch in three preseason games. In practice, though, you see Laurent and Blaine have hooked up quite a bit. It doesn't always connect, but it's close. Laurent seems to have a knack for being able to do that. So it sometimes takes time for receivers and quarterbacks to get on the same page. It hasn't taken time with Blackman because I think Blackman's showing signs of being an elite special player. But it sometimes takes time for these guys to get on the same page and to figure out what works for each player. I think you'll see more deep shots to Robinson than maybe fans are willing to grasp right now because of the way Robinson started.
Well, I said during the early parts of training camp in the offseason that Laurent Robinson looked as close to looking like Jimmy Smith as anybody who had looked that way in the Jaguars camp in a long time. Now, that's not exactly a lot of competition. There hasn't been a lot of but the guy looks the part, and there have been some coverage things over there. There may be some other things going on. And, yes, I expected him to have more than one catch for 7 yards in the preseason, but I'm not ready to declare, you know, the move a bust just on preseason numbers like that.
You know, one final thought on him. You know, everybody is very quick right now to say, oh, my goodness, they paid X, and they're getting X in return. Mm-hmm. Usually, though, with a receiver or with a guy who's going to be a washout, you can start seeing it in practice that it's just not working. You can start seeing things where this guy, it is not the player that they thought he was on tape. I don't get the impression at all watching Laurent in practice that that's the case. I see him getting open. I see him making catches in traffic. I don't have any prediction on what kind of numbers he's going to have, but I just don't see this being a case where he does not contribute and make the offense better, and that's what they paid him to do.
Yeah, and which is a basic expectation, and it will be easy to see, I think, pretty early fashion.
And he doesn't have to have huge numbers to do that. If he draws defense, if he, you know.
I think we're at the point, though, that Blackman, by what he's shown in the preseason, I mean, right. He's going to be the one who's going to be drawing more defense, which I think will free up Robinson.
It should,
more.
And if they both draw a defense, then it frees up somebody else. But I don't think he's going to be an ineffective player the defenses don't have to account for, and that's what's important.
All right, we'll take time out. When we come back, we'll hear from the head coach, Mike Mularkey. More of your calls, questions, comments, Facebook, Twitter, and 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Where's your biggest level of concern right now as the preseason gets set to wrap up? Visit Sonny's today. Try the new barbecue basket, slow-smoked, pulled, and sliced meats basket for $7.99. or for just a little more, choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny's the first name in barbecue. We'll also have an injury report for you and give you an idea of what to expect in the final preseason game, why the first quarter and the fourth quarter are going to be particularly important. This is Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King, right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars Reporters here on a Tuesday night. Cole Tepper, John Osher with you. 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Let's get an injury update first, brought to you by Baptist Health. Depend on us for life. Good news, Darryl Smith and Eugene Monroe figure to be back for the final preseason game. They'll be going at it for about a quarter or so. Derek Cox, Will Rackley will not play. Interesting to hear Mike Mularkey the other day in his press conference talk about the amount of physical practices and the intensity of the physical practices this team has had. There have been sort of clusters of injuries, but as the regular season's approaching here, this is going to be a fairly healthy team considering last year they were so beat up.
Yeah, pretty healthy. I mean, you're going to miss John Estes as backup center. You would like to have Will Rackley healthy going in. It looks like it's going to be close. I think the biggest concern is Derek Cox. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's not out there, then you're starting Aaron Ross because Rasheen's not quite ready to start opposite Will Middleton. I think that's not tragic, but you would certainly you'll like to have Derek Cox in the field.
Yeah, and I would say the bigger picture concern here is depth at some. You mentioned
sure.
John Estes. Well, it may hurt you. But if Brad Meester plays every snap, then there's no factor at all there.
Right. Their front line right now I think is pretty good. I thought it was significant what Gene said on the segment we had earlier that they played well. That was playing well even without Eugene Monroe back yet. The more you talk to people, the more they have the feeling that if this group can stay together with, you know, really only one injury, you know, they can afford one or two, that they, you know, this group could be okay. This group could be a lot better than it was last year.
Yeah. All right. 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Every week we hear from Mike Mularkey. Mike Mularkey said it last night on his weekly radio show right here. And let's hear from the head coach talking about what he's expecting for the upcoming game.
We would like to establish a good drive before we get out of there. We get stalled after four or five plays. We'll go back in there and see if we can get something established. But we're not going to push it to a limit. We do have our limits on how much these guys will play.
All right. So the limit is not going to be empirical to one quarter and that's it. It's not going to be X number of drives necessarily. There's a little bit of a feel to
sure.
this. The better they do, the less the starters will play.
And what's really impressive about Mike in talking about the preseason and talking to him about so many things, and you know, you wouldn't expect anything different. He's been in the league for 29 years. He gets it. He gets what's important about preseason. You know, he wants to win, clearly, but he wasn't jumping off bridges about losing that game the other night. He was disappointed. He wanted to use it as motivation, but he gets what the preseason's all about. If they have a good drive on Thursday, great. But he understands that it's about getting ready for the regular season. And it doesn't really – your momentum in football, like any sport, is what you did on the last drive. If they come out and have a good first drive in the opener, they've got momentum. And I think Mike gets that.
All right. Some other comments here from the Twitterverse. Cole, my concern is for defensive end. If Mincy or Branch get hurt, does the team have depth to fill in the void? That from Lance. You mentioned John Chick. That would be one guy who would help you out there. Austin Lane's another one who's banged up who would help you out there at defensive end. Those are the two real pass rushers they have right now, though, from the outside are Mincy and Branch.
Right, and Chick's on PUP, so he won't be available until October 15th. And Austin Lane, it's starting to sound like he won't be ready for the regular season opener. That's not written in stone, but you haven't heard about him. With George Selvey being out, I would be surprised if during their roster moves this weekend there's not some move or at least some serious consideration given to bringing in a veteran end, somebody who can get you through until maybe Selvey and Lane get back.
You know, it's somebody who's got some ability to rush the passer, though, you don't find those guys on the street very often.
Right.
The Jaguars did find John Chick on the street,
sure,
more or less last year. So
and
they're out there. But
and you know, he's still
find.
A developmental guy. You know, I think at this point you might be in a situation, depending on how these guys come along, where you may just need a number next week, mm-hmm, and to tide you over until Lane gets back, until Selvey gets back. I haven't heard that's going to happen, but it would certainly seem logical that during this mix of, you know, guys getting released from different teams, that you would see a veteran end in until Selvey or Lane could get on the field.
All right. I mentioned earlier we were going to do a what if in terms of the Maurice Jones-Drew situation. What if, you know, would the Jaguars change their stance if Rashad Jennings got hurt and he wasn't going to be back for a while and they start 0-4? Do you see the Jaguars changing their stance on Maurice Jones-Drew?
I don't think I know. I mean, first of all, I don't think they're going to start 0-4, but I don't think that would change it. I don't think anything's going to change their stance, because I think this is a philosophical stance that this is the way this organization is going to do business long term. And I don't think you change that based on one guy, one season, 1 month. The only remote possibility would be if, you know, say they're hovering around contention, 3-2, 4-3. There's a rash of injuries at running back to where you know somebody like Rashad is not going to be back long term, then maybe. But I say that not really believing it, because I don't think there's anything that's going to change their stance.
I agree with you. I think the Jaguars have said, here's where we are. You know, sometimes I actually had this experience. I was telling the story about a job I was offered quite a few years ago. And I told the guy, okay, well, it was in a different city. This is what I'm going to need to take this job. This is not a negotiation. I'm just telling you, if you can't get to this number,
right,
then we can't do it. Right? Same situation. Well, they thought I was negotiating. No, I'm just telling you, here's the number. And sometimes one side's negotiating and doing the dance, and the other side is, no, this is where I'm going to be.
Right. I do think Maurice, you know, as a player, he desperately wants to – I shouldn't say desperate. He wants to negotiate. He wants this, you know, to be wiggle room. I just don't get the impression from, you know, and I haven't talked to anybody who gets the impression, not just me, that there's anything that's going to cause the Jaguars to come off this, because to them it's not a negotiation issue. It's this is how we're going to do business. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference there.
All right, here's a question in from Facebook. With a strong preseason outing, can Jordan Palmer reasonably secure the number two quarterback spot?
You know, I think it's going to – I doubt it. Chad Henne played the other night. He was the backup. I haven't heard a whole lot of sentiment that, you know, Jordan's moved ahead. Mike's usually a pretty honest guy in the press conferences.
Yep.
He, when asked about this a couple weeks ago, he talked about the fact that Henne had not played with the starters as Gabbard had, that Jordan was playing against third-team guys, whereas Henne was playing against backups when he was in the game. You know, sometimes that sort of thing switches after that final preseason games and things shock you, and maybe that happens here, but I don't get the impression that that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that you'll see a lot of Jordan Palmer.
Absolutely.
on Thursday night, and I think he'll be given the chance to earn a roster spot. And the mm-hmm. decision of two versus three quarterbacks is one of those interesting decisions. The Jaguars and a lot of teams have gone to the two quarterback approach
sure.
recently. Obviously, different coaching staff now. But with some of those injuries and guys who may be slow in coming back, the Jaguars may be more likely to carry two so they can have a little more supplemented at some other positions.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, in the past, Todd Bauman was the guy the Jaguars would, you know, make the call to the tractor to get him down here with if they needed something. This is a whole different offensive scheme, so Bauman's not really an option
right.
there, but maybe Jordan Palmer would be if nobody else picked him
right.
up.
Right, and I think Jordan's played well, but in the last game he played, I think he was 4 of 12, 4 of 11.
Yep.
Now, a couple of those were interference,
yep.
So I'm not taking it away from him that he got that done, but I don't know that in the coaches and personnel mind that there is a mammoth difference that Jordan Palmer just completely outplayed Chad Henne.
All right, 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Let's go to John in Keystone Heights, who's up next here on Jaguars Reporters. John, how you doing?
All right, buddy. How are you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, the thing about saying we maybe need a temporary guy to kind of help us out at the defensive end part,
mm-hmm.
we had a guy that we let go that knows the system, and I haven't heard anybody say anything about him. Kamen, bring him back and let him play a little bit.
My feeling is that if they thought Kampman was healthy enough to be playing, that he'd still be here because he was such a positive force in the locker room, such a pro. I would be very surprised, John, if they would go back in that direction.
Yeah, usually with a player who has been at the level that Aaron has been, when the ship has sailed, it's sailed in terms of, you know, with the franchise. I don't know that Aaron necessarily wants to be a guy that gets brought back for a game or two. Although I can definitely see your point that, you know, that this guy knows the system, they know what he's about, you're going to get his all. I don't know one way or the other if Aaron wants to play again at this point. I don't know that he does or doesn't, but I would be surprised if that's the route they go.
All right, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's get to a hole in the ozone. Every week we get a question that did not get chosen to be on Jaguars.com, but that certainly has some meat on the bone, let's say. And here it is from Benji in Eureka, California, or Wyreka, as he wrote.
Sure.
Michael Lombardi just released his top 10 defensive players at each position on NFL.com. No Jaguars, but I'm not clamoring for more respect. Just curious if you would put any Jaguar defenders in the top 10, and if so, who?
Well, my usual joke here would be I stopped reading when you said Michael Lombardi. But,
right.
And this is sort of the classic case where good players, really good players from teams without winning records often get overlooked.
Yep.
We've all been there, you know, with this team last year. I don't have any doubt that Paul Posluszny and Daryl Smith would be considered by a lot of people top 10 players at their position.
Yeah.
But they're also not big sack guys, and they're not guys who are necessarily going to wow you in terms of Pro Bowl votes because they're not sack or interception or, you know, on TV a lot. But,
yep.
you know, I would certainly be hard-pressed to find 10 middle guys or 10 outside guys who I think are better than those two.
I would say if you're going to just lump all linebackers together, maybe they both don't make it.
But maybe they do.
But maybe they do. And
they're
and,
really good.
And he, you know, it's interesting because Posluszny told me the other day in the locker room, I was asking him, you know, are you looking forward to getting Daryl Smith back on the field? Hey, he's our best defender.
Right.
Do you agree with that? Is Daryl? I mean, I think you can kind of flip a coin and take your pick on what you're looking for between those two guys.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would tell either of them to their face that they weren't the best, but they also each would tell you the other guy is.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That's kind of guys they are. I'm not sure I know the difference enough for them to tell you which is better. I think they're that close.
I'm not sure I do either, but I'll come up with a, you know,
sure
a pick anyway, just to.
Yeah,
stir things
up.
I was
really struck last year by what a difference Posluszny made in this defense. I would maybe give Paul the edge because he's the one who's communicating with the sidelines and getting him in and out of plays. I would consider him maybe a little more important
reason.
And a middle guy
tends to be a little bit more in line than a guy on the outside.
But Daryl's really good.
They both are, no doubt about it. All right, we'll take timeout. You need a truck that worked for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today, a proud sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And by the way, if you're going to go with top 10 fullbacks, can you find me 10 fullbacks who are better than Greg Jones? I don't think so. But again, there may not be more than about 10 fullbacks in the league anyway right now who actually play that position the traditional way, but still, he'd be right up there as far as the fullbacks are concerned. More of your calls, tweets, and Facebook comments when we come back on Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King, right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King. Cole Tepper, John Osher. I want to remind you that tomorrow night, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, 6 o'clock. You going to be in here with the fellas tomorrow night, John? More punishment?
I'm going to make every effort to be here.
All right. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman.
Well, that sounds like a no.
He's bailing out.
I will make every effort.
And then Thursday night, final preseason game, a 6:30 kickoff here at Everbank Field. Remember, 6:30 kickoff. We'll begin our coverage at 3:30 with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show. And love to see everybody come on out and hopefully stay dry and enjoy a final preseason game. Should be a good one here at Everbank Field to watch the starters for a bit. And then the fourth quarter, where there will be some things to watch, I think, John. If you are one of those guys who likes to watch to see who's going to make the team, there are not a ton of roster spots that are up for grabs, maybe four or five. And, of course, a lot of that comes down to what you're doing in terms of special teams. But I think you got some linebackers and some defensive backs who and maybe one wide receiver and one quarterback who may be competing for spots on the opening day roster.
Yeah, there's no question. And if you took a poll of people who wanted two preseason games, you would not ever find general managers on that list.
No.
Because they consider these games very valuable, you know, for many reasons. Most of all, what we're talking about, picking those last few guys is very interesting. I think Joshua Jones, Julian Stanford, J.K. Schaefer, Jairus Pendleton, there are guys to watch who can influence coaches' decisions. I think what's going to be very interesting, too, what happens at tight end. Zach Miller continues to be hurt. They love Zach Miller, but can you let a guy like Colin Clardy get out the door being uncertain about Zach? And so I think you may see them – it's those kind of questions that are going to influence other positions. Does Kevin Elliott make the team? Does Jordan Palmer make it as a third? It's not always about, is this guy good enough to be here? Sometimes it's about what's going on at another position.
Yeah, how much depth you want to take on the offensive line or the defensive line certainly is going to come into play as well.
And just because a guy is not on the team, for instance, doesn't mean he won't be in a week. Sometimes it's roster management.
Yeah, it's the you'll stash him in a hotel somewhere.
Right.
All right, let's go to Arlington. Ennio is up here on Jaguars Reporters. Ennio, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Yeah, praise the Lord. It's football season again, man.
That's right.
Hey, just got a quick question. What's your opinion regarding Laurent Robinson? Is he another deja vu with, like we had with Porter? Is he going to be another $30 million flop like we had before?
I don't see him like Jerry Porter. Again, I think fans are very concerned because it's one catch for 7 yards. We talked a little bit about it earlier. I'm not worried about that yet because, John, you mentioned how good he looked has looked in practice last, you know, last week or so. Yeah. I noticed it early on how solid he was looking, more than how terrific he looked in the OTAs.
I don't know how good he's going to be, Cole. I mean, I have no idea what the ceiling is, but I don't think you're going to see a guy who is a washout by any means. With a washout, the guys check out mentally. They stop caring. They've looked bad in practice. That's not Laurent Robinson. So I believe he's going to contribute. I don't know what people's numbers are for determining if a guy's a bust or not. I think he's going to be a significant contributor this year.
All right. Our last 30 seconds here. What we'll be asking here the rest of this week, one of the questions I'll be asking is how much of a step forward has Blaine Gabbert taken? We can ask that after the final preseason game. In 10 seconds here, what are you going to be asking this week?
Who's making the team?
Yeah, that's a good question, and we'll get down to it. Final cuts are due this weekend after the preseason game, so we'll see who makes up the final 53 for the Jaguars. That'll do it for Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King. Again, tomorrow night, Jaguars this week presented by Aetna, and then 3:30 on Thursday, Jaguars and Falcons. The tailgate show starts at 3:30, kickoff at 6:30 here at Everbank Field. For John Osher, the senior writer of Jaguars.com, for Joe Fortunato, our executive producer, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening to Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King, and good night from Jaguar Central.